This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
It may not be toll-free, though.
True.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this down because I can deal with that later. It's not terribly important, but it is distracting.
Indeed.
It's a matter to deal with. So anyway, we're talking about Venezuela here tonight, and they're oops, we screwed it up. Our perfect utopian socialist society, according to politicians like Bernie Sanders, their democratic socialist society, is collapsing. Ongoing. It's been collapsing for the better part of two decades, I believe.
Yeah, according to the story here, the Foundation for Economic Education, it was Chavez who was elected in the very late 1990s, 1998, and reelected again 2 years later and then again in 2006. And it was actually.
Now, were these actual elections or were these, quote, elections?
Well, the elections in Venezuela became more and more, quote, elections as time went on, so now they're even more, quote, election-like than they've been in the past.
For those who aren't aware, what we're saying here is that these elections are likely
sham.
Rigged.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely a sham these days, and maybe they were rigged back then. You'd have to ask someone from there. But in this case, early on, he probably did win by promising people a bunch of free money, right? Like, that's how people like Joe Biden and other politicians get into office.
And, man, are they delivering. Here comes your $1,400 stimulus check. I hope you're ready to buy Bitcoin.
So it's not going to be monthly?
Oh,
no. I suspect we'll end up with the monthly stipend.
I mean, they're talking about that, but I don't know how close they are to accomplishing it.
If the Democrats have the numbers to put through yet another stimulus payment to Americans, I imagine they also have the numbers to put forward a UBI.
We shall see.
I would have it automatically go into an account and be used automatically to buy Bitcoin because $1,000 to every single American every single month is going to destroy the USD.
That's like 1/50th of a Bitcoin right now.
It is. Give me a year and I'll have a whole Bitcoin then.
That would be per week. And that presumes the price didn't go up.
Oh, and the price would absolutely go up. And so could you.
So they started nationalizing in the aughts, so in like 2006 under Chavez. Toward the end of his life, because he died shortly thereafter, but they started taking over the steel industry, agriculture, transportation, mining, and confiscating in total more than 1,000 companies' farms and properties.
At the time, and of course, they blamed their collapse that's happened since then on America's sanctions against Venezuela.
They have, which is one reason why there should be no sanctions against any country anywhere, because it allows the government there to point to the sanctions and say, see, it's the American government's fault.
I agree, but if socialism is so badly at self-sustaining that it can't survive sanctions, then it shouldn't exist in the first place.
Sure, but again, the U.S. government shouldn't have any business telling people they can't do business.
I agree.
With Venezuela. It's technically not legal for, let's say, you wanted to sell Bitcoin to somebody in Venezuela. That may not be legal.
I'm going to do it anyway.
I know, but you see what I'm
because
saying?
It's a good service to the people of Venezuela.
Right, it actually would help undermine the government of Venezuela if you were allowed to do that. Same thing's true in Iran.
Well, legal doesn't mean moral.
That's absolutely true.
Good point.
And a great example I love to give is the company that created the Lamassu Bitcoin machines. At one time, it was the number one most best-selling Bitcoin vending machine on the planet. It no longer is, but it's still a great piece of hardware. And they created that in New Hampshire.
Really?
They are free staters.
Yeah. Oh, very cool.
And
I wasn't aware of that.
Then they left. And it's always sad when free staters leave New Hampshire, and it's always, you know, curious as to why did that happen. Well, one reason is because America won't allow them to do business with other countries, specifically Iran or, you know, whatever the other axis of evil countries happen to be in the moment. And so they moved their operations to Europe, where they can now do business with Iran and any other
because
country
it's worth
world.
Pointing out that someone buying a Bitcoin vending machine from Lamassu in order to install it in Iran or Venezuela or anything like that, it's only going to help the people of Venezuela and Iran and North Korea, and it's only going to hurt those governments.
Yep. But we're not free, legally, to make those choices. So, at the time of Chavez's death, according to FEE.org, his socialist policies were heralded by Salon Magazine, the online website, as an economic miracle. But in reality, the Venezuelan economy was already in a free fall. By 2014, with the price of oil collapsing, Maduro's government admitted that it was in severe recession and Venezuela was suffering from the highest inflation in the Americas. By January of 2016, the country was on the verge of complete economic collapse, not long after the Venezuelan government abandoned any pretense of being a democratic regime. A 2019 United Nations report concluded that there were reasonable grounds to believe that Maduro's government had used special forces to kill thousands of political opponents in extrajudicial executions. To date, it is believed that more than 5 million Venezuelans have fled the country to escape economic ruin and political oppression.
Remember all of the horrific news stories about people fleeing the horrors of the free market?
No.
Nor do I. Because I don't believe any such stories have ever been written.
Well, first of all, there are no free markets, but the more freer marketplaces, those that are the least regulated, tend to be the most comfortable as far as, you know, the accoutrements and the niceties of life. So, privatization to the rescue, the collapse of Venezuela, once the most prosperous country in Latin America, is hardly a secret. But Maduro's pivot toward private enterprise in an attempt to stabilize the collapsing country is a new revelation. It's not unprecedented, however. According to the head of economic consultancy EcoAnalytica, quote, the process is similar to the privatization process in Russia in that assets are transferred to private local companies and to investors from countries allied to the government.
Run that by me again.
So, assets that the government has, so the stuff they stole from businesses a decade and a half ago,
right,
are now being transferred to private local companies and to investors from countries that are allied to the government. So, Russians, Cubans, or whoever it is that's friendly with the Venezuelan government, they're getting the opportunity to pick up these assets. So it's, you know, the good old boys are going to be benefiting from this. This isn't, you know, this is privatization, as you call it, where the government determines who the winners are going to be. The government determines who gets the assets. It's not like some sort of market bidding process or any kind of open process,
which probably would have been a lot better for the people of Venezuela.
Yeah, to give them a chance.
Yeah, to have people who are actually capable of running a steel industry, you know, investing in the steel industry instead of people from Russia who are getting to invest in it simply because they're Russia-friendly with the Venezuelan government.
Rodrigo Aguro, the head of the Venezuelan Food Network, told the news agency the regime instituted a wild capitalism by ceasing the collection of taxes on certain companies, liberalizing licenses on imports, and convincing military and other connected officials to invest in certain businesses. Ramon Lobo, a lawmaker with a ruling socialist party and former finance minister, said the arrangements tend to have time limits, usually less than 10 years, and work much like a concession. Companies are allowed to invest and manage the asset, with the government then taking a percentage. So
it's like
they're converting from socialism into fascism, is what they're doing. They're converting from socialism into corporatist fascism, is what's happening here. And so
I guess that is technically an improvement, but not by a whole lot.
No.
I mean, fascism is certainly working out better in the United States than socialism is for Venezuela.
Well, that's because in the United States, they started from relative freedom and went into fascism.
Also a good point. Well, it sounds like Venezuela started out pretty well as well.
They did, but they went into socialism, and now they're trying to come out of socialism and go into fascism. So it's, of course, going to be a much uglier and not as, you know, wealth-producing process. But they're just trying to save face here. The government is trying to stay in place. Nicolas Maduro wants to stay the president, and if he can make it so that people aren't starving, then they're less likely to throw him out of office with torches.
Well,
and there's a little more.
It sounds like he needs to be thrown out of office with a torch.
Indeed.
What do you think? 603-283-6160. Is fascism an improvement over socialism? And if so, to what extent? 603-283-6160. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about what's happening in Venezuela. Is it real socialism now that it's failed? Again, this is Free Talk Live.
So you've heard all 3 hours of the latest episode of Free Talk Live, and you're still hungry for liberty-oriented audio content? Did you know that we have another 24/7 audio stream at LRN.fm? The Liberty Radio Network airs the latest episodes of some of the best liberty-oriented podcasts on the internet, around the clock. In addition to recorded content, you'll also hear live shows like Free Talk Live, originating from our Keene, New Hampshire studio. So listen anytime at LRN.fm. That's LRN.fm.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living. To survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war, Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series from Bane Books at BaneBooks.com.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it. Use it. Spread it.
Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160 is the call-in line. And we're talking about it's totally not real socialism Venezuela, and how they've apparently made the decisions to move from socialism to fascism, which is where they're going to essentially have people in power in these businesses, people controlling these businesses, who are at the whims of the state. It's sort of like just, it's socialism with one extra step. It's not real privatization because these people are still beholden to the state, just like we have here in the United States, where you have the regulations and licenses that you need and all of that, but ultimately the government can't come in and say, hey, you're going to start enforcing these laws for us now. You're going to start making every mask customer mandate that comes in here put on a mask.
Yep. Stand 6 feet away, et cetera, et cetera. Mandatory this and that. So, I mean, it's not very different from what we're used to in that every country in the world, every government gang in the world does the same thing to business. They treat them like they own them, and the businesses accept it. So I guess they do own them. Because very few business owners will actually stand up against these regulations, even in the so-called land of the free. But in Venezuela, according to a lawmaker with the ruling Socialist Party, this is Ramon Lobo, who is a former finance minister, he says these arrangements that they've been putting into place, and apparently quietly they've been doing this in recent months or years, just the last year or so.
Well, as you pointed out, they don't want to openly tell the entire world that, oh,
we're
yeah,
not socialists
this didn't
anymore.
Work.
Yeah. He says they work much like a concession, meaning that the arrangements tend to have time limits, less than 10 years. Companies are allowed to invest and manage the asset, meaning the asset being the thing the government stole from a business that actually created it back in the day, and now is not giving back to that business, mind you.
No, it's being given to one of their friends.
Correct. So, I mean, I presume most of the men and women who created successful businesses in the early, you know, earlier decades in Venezuela have probably left, so they're probably not there to give the business back to, like, if the government actually wanted to do the right thing and give it back to this, you know, the person that made it work in the first place.
And if they even had the record of who it initially belonged to at this point.
Well, I mean, somebody knows who the owner was of whatever supermarket chain it was that they nationalized back in the day. There's somebody's going to remember that. Wikipedia, you know, probably knows who that person was. But I guarantee you those people have left. I mean, they had the wealth to create a business. They probably had the wealth to buy a plane ticket to get out at the very end.
And they had the knowledge and the drive to create a business and make it successful.
And now they're just handing it over to one of their buddies in the corporate world from places like Russia. And here's what he has to say. This is Lobo, the lawmaker with the Socialist Party. Quote, "We believe this is positive because it is the synchronization of the public sector with the private sector. The state acts as a supervisor and receives compensation."
Yep, that's pretty much verbatim fascism.
What have they shown, like, with their use of the money that they get to be the supervisor? What have they shown that they've done right?
That the state has shown?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, nothing. They have guns. And so they just get to do what they want because, well, that they're the state. And no one will challenge that.
We're allowing you to manage this company.
That's right.
But you're going to do everything we tell you. And you're going to pay us for this privilege.
Yeah, we know you can do it better than us, so we're going to let you do it. But you got to pay us. And then we'll take it back if we want to.
Isn't that pretty much taxes and regulation like we have here?
Yeah.
We know you can do it better, but
it's,
you're going to pay us.
Yeah, it's just another name. In a sense, according to fee.org, the revelation of Venezuela's privatization push is a clear positive development. Maduro's effort to quietly form private-public partnerships, a strategy that began in 2017, reveals the total failure of Venezuela's command economy. Bloomberg points out, for example, that once successful food processing plants have been mostly idle since being seized by the government, plants that could have been feeding a starving population. That revelation is both tragic and infuriating, but it's not surprising. By their very nature, command economies are doomed to fail because they lack the basic incentive and price structures that are present in a market economy. Remember, this Maduro guy came in and would demand that companies sell products at lower than the costs that they cost to produce, and then put those companies out of business.
I mean, just like with the USD and the Bolivar exchange rate, it's like, hey, I know this is what it's actually worth, but this is what you're going to sell it at because we said so.
We said so. Mm-hmm. Even if it puts you out of business.
And even if it collapses the economy.
Quote, it's more than a metaphor to describe the price system as a kind of machinery for registering change or a system of telecommunications which enables individual producers to watch merely the movements of a few pointers as an engineer might watch the hands of a few dials in order to adjust their activities to changes of which they may never know more than is reflected in the price movement, the Nobel laureate F.A. Hayek wrote. Many might be tempted to think that Maduro was just a bad or stupid person, but Ludwig von Mises reminds us that the question to find the right person to run a command economy is a futile one for this very reason. Quote, it has not been realized that even exceptionally gifted men of high character cannot solve the problems created by socialist control of industry. And so this is the claim of all the socialists. Is, oh, well, that wasn't real socialism. Oh, just put Bernie in charge and then it'll work.
Or, well, now we know that you can't be a Bernie supporter and say that Venezuela isn't real socialism anytime a Bernie supporter says that.
I think Bernie went back on what he said, didn't he?
I don't know.
Because he was all
pro... I think
pro...
he did, and he blamed the American sanctions as the reason.
Mm.
See, there's always something.
Yeah.
There's always some reason why their socialism didn't work, but if you just do this, if you just put this guy in charge, then it'll work. And the truth is, one man cannot know how to direct an economy. They cannot be aware of all the prices and demands and all of that.
No one man and no group of people can
do it.
It's simply not possible to coordinate the behavior of people making choices and to know what choices those people are going to make.
The trillions of choices that are being made in any given open marketplace, it's impossible to calculate.
How does the government know where I ate dinner today? They don't.
Well, right? If the government were in charge, you probably would have been standing in a bread line.
True.
And then they would know.
But see, in the socialist utopian fantasy, we would still have the local burgers and the curry Indians, and the government would just keep them supplied because they would know how many people were going to be eating there on a given day, but they don't.
No.
The government can't keep track of all of that information. It's too much information. The only way of handling it is the free market, is to just let these things work themselves out.
Right. And the ones who can't do it, the ones who are not, you know, particularly good at making the sandwiches or delivering them on time or whatever, they will go out of business.
Yep.
And that's okay, because then their assets can be bought by somebody else at a fraction of the cost, and they can try again and see if they can do a better job at it.
Quite often they can.
It seems after much pain and suffering, even socialist leaders in Venezuela have conceded they cannot run an economy with enough efficiency to avoid economic ruin. But while returning enterprises to private owners is a step in the right direction, it's hardly accurate to call Maduro's strategy capitalism. The Maduro government is still using everything from price controls on food to minimum wage hikes to currency manipulation, which they're not slowing that down, to manage the economy, not to mention selecting which businesses get to participate in its privatization efforts and who gets to invest.
I like how they mention minimum wage hikes. That's something else we're likely to see in the United States under the Democratic Biden administration. They're already talking about it. Of course, they want to take the minimum wage up to $15 an hour because that can't possibly have unforeseen consequences to the economy. What do you think the minimum wage should be? Why not just go ahead and make it $50 an hour? It's Free Talk Live.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
Your amp will directly change more lives by getting Free Talk Live in front of people looking for talk radio online and on the air. When you amp Free Talk Live, you get perks like access to the AMP only Facebook group and AMP podcast. Visit amp.freetalklive.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Millions across the country remain without power as a large winter storm has left nearly three-quarters of the U.S. covered in snow and dealing with record low temperatures in many areas. At least 16 deaths have been attributed to the storm, with a strong tornado in Brunswick County, North Carolina, killing three. Utilities in several states have implemented rolling blackouts as power demands for heat and electricity have risen to record levels. Texas has been one of the worst hit, with more than 4 million people losing power across the state, and officials opening warming centers for those without power. Large areas of the Great Plains are under wind chill advisories, and winter weather advisories remain in effect from Maine all the way down to New Mexico, as another system is expected to bring more snow and ice to the south, Midwest, and Northeast later this week. This is USA Radio News. The National Guard units guarding the U.S. Capitol could be there until the fall, according to new reports. Emails between the National Security Council and the Department of Defense reportedly show that there have been internal discussions about keeping the Guard in the Capitol until the fall of this year. But Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby says the plan remains to send those troops home in mid-March. He tells Fox News that there have been internal discussions about a longer mission, but only for planning purposes.
There was some internal discussions about hypothetical potential future operations. I mean, you know, Neil, the Pentagon's a planning organization. That's what we do. We plan for all kinds of contingencies that actually don't ever happen. And so there was some internal discussions about, well, what if we needed to keep them longer? What would that look like? That's what we're expected to do. We're expected to be ready to answer those kinds of questions. But right now, Neil, the plan is mid-March to end this mission.
This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Trick Server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160 is the call-in number. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. Anything you want to talk about, we'll let you get on national radio and talk about it. And this is largely thanks to people like Syracuse Joe, who is a member of the AMP program. That stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. It's a special little group we have for people who like Free Talk Live and want to help us get the messages of liberty out there, who want the show to be more successful. Check it out at amp.freetalklive.com. It does come with a number of cool little perks, but that's not the reason you should do it. You should do it because you want the ideas of liberty to be on more radio stations. Thank you so much to Syracuse Joe who does that. All we ask for that is $5 a month too. And it's probably the best bang for your buck that you can get for liberty donations. amp.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones. We have David calling from New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, Revlon, Levine, Levy, Bloomberg, Mises, Sanders, and public versus private property. That's what we wanted to talk about last night. Excuse me. And a couple examples of, actually, I'd like to ask Ian what your vision is if we did sell all government held lands to private holders. But, first of all, let me share with you Two experiences. One, when I go on road trips, I just bring my tent and my camping gear. Instead of getting a hotel at the end of a driving day, I just find a place to camp and then get up in the morning and drive again.
Sure.
And that's not a problem almost everywhere, anywhere in the U.S. if you're, you know, outside of a city. And if you're in a city, you can, if you got a topper on your truck or whatever, you can urban camp for the night. But,
in Texas, which does not have hardly any public land at all, which is, so it's kind of a model of what you're suggesting. One of my road trips through Texas in the western part, where there's especially a high percentage of privately held land, I once drove for like an hour and a half at 75 miles an hour, you know, so over 100 miles, and down a two-lane highway looking for just a place to turn out and pitch a tent, get off the road. And for that entire 100 miles, there was a tight-stretched barbed wire fence on each side of the highway. And about every mile, there was a gate, which was locked, and there was literally no place to turn out. Finally, I gave up and pulled into one of those gated turnoffs, you know, just a little approach apron, the 30 feet or whatever it is from the highway to the gate, and parked the car to the side of that, pitched the tent in the ditch as the cars went by, you know, through the night at 80 miles an hour. And another example.
David, you're making my eyes glaze over. What's your point?
Did you consider,
that's just like driving through West Texas.
Did you consider, like, just sleeping in the car rather than pitching a tent?
Why would I want to sleep in the car when I could pitch a tent and have more space to spread out?
Okay. Is this true, Bonnie? Is there no public land in Texas? That seems almost unbelievable.
I have no idea.
Oh, you're
so anyway, what I was about to say,
we did stop off at a rest stop, I think, in Texas at some point, didn't we? Or no?
Oh, yeah, but he's talking about West Texas where it's all, like, oil land and it's all just, like, lots of, like, barren, really boring and hideous.
Issue is that every bit of land in the territory that is called the United States either belongs to an individual or to the government. You mentioned, you know, should we just sell this land, have people come buy this land from the government? No, the government has no rightful claim to it. If you see land that isn't owned by any individual, you should just be able to go and claim that land as your own.
Yeah, I wasn't, thank you for that, Aria, because that was originally he had said he was going to ask me a question or something about that, and I don't necessarily agree that the government should be selling off its land. I kind of like nobody's suggestion that it should just be able to be homesteaded.
Yeah.
Well, I don't disagree with you entirely. I think that I have two points to make. Well, one is that, let me add one that I wasn't going to add, but since we're on that subject, that, you know, when you're born, you don't have to pay somebody for every breath of air that you take, right?
Nope.
Okay, we don't want to give anybody any ideas, but it's a birthright to be able to breathe without paying somebody. It's my allegation that it's also a birthright to be able to have a piece of land to be upon where you can sleep without being harassed by the law. And there must be enough space there for you to grow enough food to eat and water to water those crops with. That's your birthright, I believe, which would kind of be aligned with your beliefs.
I can't agree with that at all.
I can't agree with that.
I mean, air circulates. It's recycled every second of every day. Only one person can use land at a given time.
And that wouldn't necessarily be the best use of land. Like, people having their own little plots of carrots wouldn't be better than a company who's really good at, like, making a whole bunch of food and feeding more people.
Oh, so you're a communist.
I said a company. Not the government.
You're a socialist.
How did you come to any of this?
I'm poking the bear. So what you're saying is that the little guy, and actually before we continue arguing this, let me share you another real life thing.
Please don't.
So you've heard
I want to keep talking about this. So you brought up the idea that there's a birthright in your mind.
Well, are you going to let me make my final point before you cut me off?
I don't know.
We want you to make your initial point.
I want to talk about this since you brought it up. The idea that
Aria, you're too dumb to understand my initial point.
You haven't made your initial point.
That's true. Yeah, he always inserts 10 different points before he gets to whatever, if he ever, it does get to whatever it was that he was going to. But he brought this up. And so I'd like to talk about it, the idea that everybody should have a little plot of land for themselves. That sounds great. And I understand.
Sure, but where's this land going to come from? And with 6 billion people on the planet, or 7 billion.
There's a lot of land out there, and, you know, there probably would be room for people to have, if indeed everybody were, you know, the land were all divvied up. I mean, I forget.
Not all of it's desirable, though. Like, oh,
no, that's true.
Here's
that's
your
true.
4 acres of land in the Sahara.
Right. That's a great point. So that's one point, no doubt about it. But let's just say it was desirable.
Okay.
Let's just say that there was enough, and I think there probably is enough land to divvy up and give people some space.
I would agree, but that's the most communistic thing I've ever heard.
Oh, it's a terrible, yeah, it's a terrible plan. Just because
everyone
of that.
Gets the same amount of land.
Right.
Good luck.
Right, and the thing I wanted to say about that was he said it's your birthright. Well, at some point, what happens to the new people that get born? Because every time you get born, then what? You've got to carve out another plot of land that already exists under somebody else's purview? Or how exactly does that start to work? Because people are going to keep reproducing, which means that everybody has this birthright to the free land, but at some point, taking that land is going to take that land away from somebody else because it's their birthright. But what about the other person's birthright? So now you've got a conflict of birthrights.
Oh, well, you would just have to constantly redistribute the wealth.
And who's distributing this? If somebody has to be putting work into it for free, then he believes in slavery.
Yeah, how does that happen? How does the, you know, is it a government bureaucracy that figures all this out? I mean, the whole thing is just, it's ridiculous.
Pretty much any positive right will make you sound like you believe in slavery.
Are you done yelling, David? You got any thoughts on that?
Actually, he's not on yet. You pressed the wrong button.
Oh, I sure did.
Hello?
Hey, are you done yelling now?
Probably not.
No, actually not. You silenced me so that I couldn't respond to all of the false allegations that you were making, and I can respond to every single one of them that you made. You're basically
respond to any one
on
of
a
them.
Lot of things. Hello, will you quit talking over the audience?
Will you respond to any Hello? One of the points we made?
Hello.
All right. Have a good night, David Christ.
Instead of allegations,
he had the chance. You brought him back and gave him the chance, and he just complains about being on hold.
I was inclined to just drop him, but he was still there. So let's bring him on to address him, but of course he can't.
I don't think you should have brought him back, but you did, and he just botched the opportunity.
So the public-private land thing, it's a bit of a sore point, because the United States government has no rightful claim to any of the land that it right now claims.
No, it only has the claim of violence.
Yeah, and all of this federally owned land, if you want to, you should be able to go out there and just start farming it. Build a house there, whatever. It's not being used. It belongs to no one.
Look what happened to Clive and Bundy when he tried to let some cattle out on the federal lands.
Yep. There's more about this. This isn't the first time that the government has blurred the line. Of course, it's not the first time between public and private lands. 603-283-6160 is the call-in number. What do you think about eminent domain? We got a story about it coming up.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Want to dominate the stock market in 2021? Looking for higher profit potential? With the COVID vaccines, a shifting political landscape, and a new year, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how. Make 2021 your year. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Okay.
you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD Family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio you control. Final segment of the hour here, and as we alluded to, evidently Central Park was seized via eminent domain by New York City at some point, I think you said in antebellum New York, and I didn't know any of this history about it, but I'm anxious to hear more about it, because so far it sounds absolutely horrific, which isn't surprising based on the subject matter.
But well, I mean, New York's always been just an awful status place, apparently.
Yeah.
The park's website has a little story about it, which I don't understand why. Yeah, they admit it. That's where I went to look it up. It's Central Park.
How did you find out about this in the first place?
My little brother sent me a meme explaining, like, did you know that there used to be a thriving African American town in the 1820s, and then the government took it away from them, accused them of being shanty owning squatters, and then turned it into Central Park. And I was like, wow. What? And I Googled it, and this is what it came up with. So it says, before Central Park was created, the landscape along what is now the park's perimeter, from West 82nd to West 89th Street, was the site of Seneca Village, a community of predominantly African Americans, many of whom owned property.
So they owned the property.
Or so they thought.
Here.
Yes.
Right.
By 1855, the village consisted of approximately 225 residents, made up from roughly two-thirds African Americans, one-third Irish and immigrants, and a small number of individuals of German descent. One of few African American enclaves at the time, Seneca Village allowed residents to live away from the more built-up sections of downtown Manhattan and escape the unhealthy conditions and racism they faced there. Hmm.
Understandable.
And so the Irish were there, too.
So they didn't like the conditions in New York City, and they were like, okay, well, we're going to go form our own city.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how it happened. In 1825, when landowners in the area, John and Elizabeth Whitehead, subdivided their land and sold it as 200 lots, Andrew Williams, a 25-year-old African-American shoeshiner, bought the first three lots for $125. Epiphany Man. Davis, a store clerk, bought 12 lots for $578. And AME Zion Church purchased another six lots. From there, a community was born. From 1825 to 1835, the Whiteheads sold about half of their land parcels to other African Americans, and by the 1830s, there were approximately 10 homes in the village.
Now what's one of those parcels go for in New York City?
Oh, well, now you can't buy it because it's Central
Square. It's Central Park.
Sure, but I mean,
Central Park, I meant.
You can buy an apartment across the street or whatever, right?
Oh,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For African Americans, Seneca Village offered the opportunity to live in an autonomous community far from the densely populated downtown. Despite New York's abolition of slavery in 1827, discrimination was still prevalent throughout New York City and severely limited the lives of African Americans. Seneca Village's remote location likely provided a refuge from this climate. It also would have provided an escape from the unhealthy and crowded conditions of the city and access to more space both inside and outside of the home.
Well, we can't have that. This is New York.
And we can't have people being safe and away from the crowded environments.
The fact that many of the residents were property owners contradicts some common misperceptions. It says misperceptions, but I don't know if this is true, but that meme said it was the city's, like, spreading this misconception that during the mid-19th century that the people living on the land slated for the park were poor squatters living in shanties.
Mm.
While some residents lived in shanties and in crowded conditions, most lived in two-story homes. Census records show that residents were employed, with African Americans typically employed as laborers and in service jobs, the main options for them at the time. Records also showed that children who lived in Seneca Village attended school. And this is the creation of Central Park. During the early 1850s, the city began planning for a large municipal park to cover unhelpful urban conditions.
What was it, unhealthful or unhelpful?
Help.
Healthful.
See,
somebody's living in squalor, so therefore we just need to take all this land.
So these people had a community with some 225, I think you said, residents.
Mm-hmm.
They had two-story homes. Some people lived in shanties, but they were two-story homes.
Yeah.
Their children were being educated, and the government was like, hey, that's a nice stuff you have there.
It'd make a nice park.
That's so crazy. It says, in 1853, the New York State Legislature enacted a law that set aside 775 acres of land in Manhattan.
Oh, wow. So it was the legislature that did it.
To create the country's first major landscaped public park. The city acquired the land through eminent domain, the law that allows the government to take private land for public use with compensation paid to the landowner.
Oh, and
well,
I'm
see,
sure
that's okay, right? Now they got compensated.
How do you compensate for the destruction of a community of people?
You don't.
A neighborhood.
You don't. You destroy a thing that somebody, you know, it meant something to them. If they created this thing from scratch.
It was a refuge,
you know?
For them,
yeah.
From the terrible conditions and the racism in New York City. You can't put a price on that.
Oh, you guys are trying to get away from our tyranny? Well, here, have 10 times the amount of tyranny.
Does it say what they paid them, or is that the end of it?
It was pretty much just like giving some kind of propaganda after that. It was
I'm going to tell you what they paid them. An insulting amount of money.
Oh, absolutely.
That's always what it is. Whenever eminent domain gets used, it's always an insultingly low amount of money, because all the government has to do when it comes to eminent domain is give them what they consider it to be the market value. So it's whatever the government decides is the market value, because the value to you is different, right? The reason,
sure.
The reason why, you know, somebody who just walks up and knocks on your door and says, hey, I'd like to buy your house. The reason why most of the time people will say no is because the house means more to them, for whatever reason, than whatever amount it is that person is offering. Now, obviously, if they 10x their offer right on the spot, you might give it a second thought.
Sure.
But if it's just somebody walks up and says, hey, I think the market says this house is worth $150,000. I'd like to offer it to you. Well, you're like, well, no, I've been living here for a decade. It was actually belonged to my grandparents or whatever, right? Like, there's a history there. And for the people that own the thing, that have put their blood, their sweat and their tears into that thing, it means more to them than just $100,000 or $100 back in 1830.
And we're seeing that here in Keene right now, with the city trying to build a new roundabout over on Winchester Street,
mm-hmm.
where the property owners of the land they're trying to take are like, hey, look, you say this is only 3 feet of land, yes, but it completely cuts off our access to this major street here,
mm-hmm.
and that's worth a lot more than what you're paying us. I think it was like $50 or $200 or something like that for the small amount of land.
What?
Like, we're cutting off your parking lot's access to one of the busiest streets in Keene.
Yeah, here's
50
bucks.
It's just absolutely
right.
Disgusting.
You're going to lose X amount of customers, you know, some percentage of customers that would have turned in that instead will have to go somewhere. They'll just drive through the light and they'll go somewhere else. You know, you're going to lose all those customers.
It's already not an easy, convenient store to access.
Right.
And having that go away is going to make it even worse. Yeah. And I think there's a restaurant as well that's having the same issue. It's like, hey, you're killing people's ability to access our store here. And the government's like, yeah, $250 is about what this should cost, right?
Well, they did that all 2020.
They did what now?
Kept people from being able to just go to restaurants.
Yeah, sure did.
They did. And even now, when you can go to a restaurant, people aren't doing so. I ate from the local Jamaican place Sunday night, and it was one of the busiest nights I've ever seen. There's like five or six other people there waiting on their food.
Wow.
They ran out of the stuff that I usually order. It was nice to see them busy, but no one was out there eating. All of the restaurants...
Check it out.
Yeah, all of the restaurants I drove past on my way there, no one was in them eating.
No.
It's just all takeout.
We were at the Jamaican place today, and there were actually a couple there eating besides us.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's good. I wish people weren't so afraid, but I mean, and Sunday was Valentine's Day, right? You'd expect these places to be busy with romantic couples going out and having some sort of dinner somewhere instead of the usual fast food or whatever it is they're eating.
Yeah, Valentine's Day is normally a sellout day for restaurants.
Yeah, but this year?
I bet it wasn't. Yeah.
And it's sad because the lockdown isn't even really in place
anymore. There is no lockdown in New Hampshire. It's just people are that afraid. They've been that propagandized, and they buy it.
The bars are still open, though, and the bars are still busy, so people still have their vices.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
that's good to know.
We talked a lot about cancel culture. Well, we didn't because I wasn't here, but there was a lot said about cancel culture last night. There's not a lot of time to really get into it, but I did want to bring it up because I think it's worth mentioning. William Shakespeare is being ditched by woke tweakers over misogyny and racism. Well, tweakers is probably about right, too. William Shakespeare, thus getting canceled, and I think that, I mean, sure, you're going to find a lot of sexism and racism in the writings from this dude from the 16th century.
Some people
say
it was a woman. There's a theory out there that William Shakespeare was actually a woman.
I've always heard he was Kevin Bacon, or not Kevin Bacon. Wait, I don't remember his name now, something else Bacon?
I think there was a Lord
Francis
Bacon.
Bacon?
Francis Bacon.
I don't know.
Francis Bacon.
I don't know, but I'm sure, you know, there's all sorts of misogyny, racism, homophobia.
It just goes to show no one is safe. No one is safe. They're going after William Shakespeare now.
Who understood human psychology in a way that I've only seen from Sun Tzu in The Art of War.
Maybe we should bring this back tomorrow.
Okay, I'll leave it up. Shakespeare understood the human condition better than most, and he wrote some beautiful things about that human condition, even though he wasn't perfect. We might get back into this more. Thanks for listening on the internet in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Want to accept Bitcoin at your online store? There's a good chance you already have what you need, a WordPress using WooCommerce, and a Bitcoin address. Now all you need to start taking Bitcoin payments on your website is the AnyPay app on your Android or iPhone. Just paste your Bitcoin address into AnyPay, then connect it to your website with our one-click plugin for WordPress. Now your website takes Bitcoin, start to finish in 15 minutes or less with no complicated steps. Download AnyPay from the App Store today.
Tired of cancel culture? Sick of megatech corporations holding an axe over your head? Join the LRN.FM Matrix chat server. It's self-hosted, so no one else can tell us what to do or say. Don't like the existing channels? You can make your own. You can even connect into some of our channels from other Matrix servers. It's federated. For the full LRN.FM Matrix experience, though, you should join our server via the step-by-step instructions at chat.lrn.fm. chat.lrn.fm.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.